Hi, welcome to Redeem the Commute. I'm Ryan, your host for the Daily Challenges, and today is Wednesday, the day we see how what we've been studying this week from the Bible challenges and transforms us. This week we've been talking about pioneer proof, how the very first followers of Jesus were given a chance to prove their case. Peter and the apostles had been preaching about Jesus in a way that was in direct confrontation with the authorities, the ruling authorities called the Sadducees. That was the story we studied yesterday of a second encounter between Peter and the apostles and the Sadducees, where the Sadducees, this ruling council, this wealthy, educated elite, have realized that Peter and his preaching about Jesus has basically been pointing the finger at them and saying, you killed Jesus, you were involved, and obviously this threatens them. And you'd think that Peter would be smart to just back down and just kind of let it go, maybe preach the positives about Jesus only, but he doesn't. He doesn't back down at all. And so we're going to see the continuation of that story now from the Bible as we see where Peter goes from there and what saves him, essentially, from probably being killed right on the spot. When they heard this, they were enraged and wanted to kill them. But a Pharisee in the council named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, held in honor by all the people, stood up and gave orders to put the men outside for a little while. And he said to them, "Men of Israel, take care what you are about to do with these men. For before these days, Theudas rose up, claiming to be somebody, and a number of men, about 400, joined him. He was killed, and all who followed him were dispersed and came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean rose up in the days of the census and drew away some people after him. He too perished, and all who followed him were scattered. So in the present case, I tell you, keep away from these men and let them alone. For if this plan or this undertaking is of man, it will fail. But if it is of God, you will not be able to overthrow them. You might even be found opposing God." So they took his advice, and when they called in the apostles, they beat them and charged them not to speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. And every day, in the temple and from house to house, they did not cease teaching and preaching that Christ is Jesus. So you're seeing two important groups in opposition here. You've got the Sadducees, who we've talked about already this week, this powerful ruling council of wealthy elites. And they are highly educated, but a fairly recent group. They're a recent innovation in Judaism. They weren't one with a long history. On the other side, you have the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. They had two different main schools of thought that we're going to see in contrast here. But they weren't a powerful ruling elite, but they had a very important and powerful place in Jewish society, since Jewish day-to-day life was governed by the laws of the Torah, of the Old Testament, and particularly those first five books that we call the Torah. So these two groups are very important, and they're both here listening in to what's happening with Peter and the apostles facing up against the Sadducees. Here we see Gamaliel trying to talk some reason into the Sadducees, who are enraged and wanting to kill Peter and the apostles. We see Gamaliel trying to talk some sense into them. I don't know about you, every time I hear Gamaliel, I think of Gargamel from the Smurfs, but we'll try to focus in on him as a biblical figure here. So Gamaliel is a Pharisee, and there were two main schools of thought in Phariseeism. One was very hardline, very, very, very strict. The other one was kind of a little laissez-faire, willing to accept that there were some gray areas and to step back and see how things went. And it certainly looks like Gamaliel was of that second school of thought. It's the family he was born into, and it's the principle he applies here in this particular encounter with Peter and the apostles. He wants the Sadducees to just back off. And he says, you know what, if this is of God, it'll thrive. If it's not of God, then it'll just fade away on its own. No big deal. He's their saving grace. Peter and the apostles probably would have been killed on the spot for the kind of direct accusations they were making. And Gamaliel, maybe God used him in some small way. Surprising as it was, he used the Pharisee, one of Jesus' typical, not necessarily enemies, but at least sparring partners in debate, to save Jesus' followers. Gamaliel backs this up by reminding them that there have been many people claiming to be the Messiah, claiming to be the Christ. It's happened before. There were way more than these just two examples. This happened all the time in first century Judaism, where somebody would rise up, claim to be the Messiah, or other people would think they were the Messiah, and they would fade away. They might start a small rebellion. It was usually a political rebellion that would try to fight, And these false messiahs would fade away and be forgotten. And Gamaliel says, you know what, that's happened before, don't worry about it. Maybe that's all Jesus is too. We'll wait and see. But if this is of God, then we shouldn't and won't be able to stop it. So glad he said that. Now, before we look into this proof and what it meant, I just want to say that this isn't necessarily a timeless principle from the Bible that we should all apply to our lives. Certainly, in the big picture, in eternity, God wins, evil loses. If it's of God, it thrives. If it's not, it dies. However, in the short term, we all know examples of awful things that happen, and that doesn't mean they are of God, that they're something God wants and that we shouldn't try to stop. So this isn't a timeless principle that we should all apply to our lives, and right now, in any crazy idea you have, as long as it works, it must be God's will. Well, no, not necessarily. We need to understand God's will from the Bible, from a relationship with Him in prayer, through asking the Holy Spirit to enter our lives and being open to His guidance. That's how we can determine God's will. And then when it's not entirely clear, when we find ourselves, you know, with a ballot of options that all seem to be equally good, equally of God, we can't quite decide, that's when we can take a flyer on something and say, you know what, let's give it a try. If it works, then it's of God. But we have to do our homework first, to study and know God and God's word in the Bible. So what was this proof all about? Well, first of all, it was proof for the authorities. The ruling authorities like the Sadducees and the Pharisees, certainly the Pharisees, their tradition was very open to the idea of a Messiah, of a coming Christ, an anointed one. This was a common thing for them to be waiting for and studying, and so maybe that's why Gamaliel is a little more open to the idea of Jesus potentially being the Messiah. So he's open to it. So we see here that this is going to be proof for the Pharisees of whether Jesus is really the Messiah, begrudgingly as they might want to even consider that. It's proof for the Sadducees. It means they don't have to go and you know, kill a popular speaker and his posse. They don't have to kill Peter and the other apostles and risk a rebellion or worse. They can just step back, and this gives them the chance to just step back and say, kind of, we told you so. We wanted to do this, but that Pharisee made us wait. So it's proof for them that they will be okay if they just step back and wait and see what happens. They also don't have to take the risk of being against God. Now, Gamaliel raises that point that if this is something of God and they don't have conclusive proof that it's evil, then it's a pretty risky thing to do, to kill this man, right? It's like in the U.S. when they have capital punishment, awful a thing as it is, they always take a lot of steps to make sure they have the right person, because death is so final. You have to be absolutely sure this is the person who committed this evil act, because there have been some horrible stories of people being on death row when they shouldn't have been. I hope that doesn't become a red herring for us, just to recognize that the Sadducees were in that kind of position where before they put somebody to death, they needed to know that he was definitely against God. They weren't 100% sure, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that that was the case. So they don't have to take that risk of angering God if they just step back, give them a little beating, and allow these events to take their course and see what happens. They can always bring them back before them and deal with them if they become a problem again. These events were also proof for the apostles that they were on the right track. Unbelievably so. They felt that they could rejoice in having been persecuted for the name, the same name that the Sadducees didn't want to say, that causes them so much fear, gives joy to the apostles. Isn't that amazing? That they've just been beaten. They've just been told that they escaped with their lives just narrowly. And they go away rejoicing. And this story says, and then they spent every day, as much time as they could, rejoicing and preaching about Jesus. The same thing that got them in so much trouble. They're going to do it again and again and again and again. Not because they haven't learned their lesson, but because they did learn their lesson. Because the Sadducees are not their teacher, God is their teacher. And God, who came to earth as Jesus, said, blessed are those, essentially, who rejoice in persecution. Blessed are the persecuted. Here are the apostles living that out. They've been persecuted and they're rejoicing in it because it's proof for them they're on the right track. They are being more like Jesus than they've ever been before. It's surprising proof, but it is proof for them. Well, it's also proof for us about something. And that's what we're going to see tomorrow on Thursday. But in the meantime, something I want you to think about and discuss with your neighbors. Your question to think about today is, what do you think this was proving for us today? What did these events prove for us today? We'll study it tomorrow, but I want you to think about it first. Have a great one. I'll see you tomorrow.